you know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
by your speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to talk?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the Thriving Tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer. With me tonight are Dave and Dan Climo of Zone 8. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, how you doing, Bill? Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Not too bad. So, you guys have your 40th anniversary of playing live coming up here. Well, it's in August, but your actual concert is going to be on October 8th. I expect that there is a lot that you guys have seen in the music scene over those years.
Oh my, we get asked that question all the time, and they sit back and try to think. It's like, oh wow, you know. And then when you do think of stuff, it's like, wow, that was a long time ago. Holy smokes! Yeah, we've seen a lot. We've seen a lot change, and but you know, we were lucky to see it. So, I mean, one thing I want to stress too, Bill, is we've never been out of a band for those 40 years. I mean, we started playing in our first band in 1976, and here it is, 2016. We're still playing in a band with never having any downtime.
Wow. You guys started playing before I was born, to put that in.
We hear this from John Fedlock, our other guitar player in Zone 8. He was born in 76. Actually, his birthday September 11th, and
he's older than me too. So,
but anyhow,
not by much.
We hear that a lot. Trust me. We don't mind.
I was born in November, so there's only a few months that you were playing before I was born.
Yeah, okay.
The bicentennial year.
So. How many bands have you guys played in over the years?
I think Zone 8 makes 11.
I actually expected that number to be higher.
No. I mean, our first band was called Shock Treatment. We formed it in 10th grade.
That's with Jim Jarrus. I don't know if you ever heard of Jarrus Guitars.
Mm-mm.
Well, anyhow, that's what he does now. He does guitar building, and he runs a studio now. But he was actually in our first band. We all went to school together. So
that band lasted for about a year or so.
About a year or so.
And then, we formed another band with another school buddy, Dan Gifford, called the Rock Riders. That band actually went for like 10 years.
Yeah, we did a lot of original writing back then. Then later on, we got into a lot of covers. And that's when we did a lot of club playing and stuff like that. And a lot of, back in them days, you could go out and do outdoor parties and stuff, you know what I mean?
We played so many field parties, I can't even count. Rent a generator, barrels of beer, go off on a hillside and play, and it pops everywhere.
Yeah, that's when field parties was a natural thing to do at that time. Nowadays, it's unheard of, you know, so.
I don't know that I've ever been to a field party.
Well, the laws are a lot different now. The drinking laws it was today.
Back when I was in high school, I know we had a neighborhood kid that had a, I think it was a party every Friday.
Yeah.
He got his house, and I think everybody from all over, I mean, get barrels of beer, whatever. And then like we would play a lot of them parties. So,
have you guys always played rock, or has there been any different genres that you've been involved in?
Actually, I do. probably about, I don't know, 8 years ago, I appeared on a blues CD, and my buddy put out a blues CD, and I played on two of the tracks. But that's the only time I ever strayed from rock heavy metal. I dug my Stratocaster out, and the two tracks come out pretty good, and he was getting some play out. He was from Ohio at the time. He was getting some play on the CD out there, and they were playing one of the tracks that I was on.
Well, that is Rich Dombrowski, who was in Just Plain Nasty with us.
Yeah.
And then Rich, after that band, he actually moved to Chicago, so we broke the band up. And Rich, when he come back years later, and then he started doing recordings on his own, and some of them was blues he was getting into, and that's when Dave appeared on it.
Over the years, you've probably played in a ton of different venues. If you had to pick a handful that you liked, and I know it's going to be hard to pick just a couple, but are there any that stuck out in your mind that you'd like to talk about and why you thought they were a good venue?
One that comes to mind right away for me is Kathy's Rainbow. It was out in Mount Pleasant. It's not there no more. But the stage, she had this stage built like it was like, oh my God, it was like, had risers on it. It was the most beautiful stage we've ever played on. And all the bands at the time used to love going out there and playing because that stage was just awesome.
Of course, there's Altar Bar, Mr. Smalls. We played on them stages many times. But one of my favorite places now is actually Peter B's, where we're going to be doing a climb of 40th. I really like that place. I like the atmosphere. I like the way everything is out there. And that's one of my places to go to right now and play.
I haven't been there in a few years, but I spent a lot of time there.
Yeah, I mean, it's, for clubs around now, it's...
we've played the Hard Rock many times over the years.
As a matter of fact, we just done Hard Rock last night for an interview. So, we've been to Hard Rock many times.
Yeah.
And that's a nice place. I mean, it's really no place that we've been to that I can't really say we didn't really like it.
I mean, we've had small stages.
Yeah, I mean, it's
pretty fun, but, you know.
I mean, we played the dive bars, whatever, but in all them years we've been playing. But there's so many places we've got to play and see that, I'm very grateful for.
How about, have you ever had an embarrassing moment on stage?
I was in the middle of a solo once, and my finger, I got a cramp in my forearm, and my ring finger locked up on me. And I was like, and I don't even know how I got through the solo, but I did. And I'm sure there's a few choppy notes in there somewhere. But that never, ever happened to me, ever. And it happened that one time. It's never happened since either. This was probably in the late 80s. And I don't know why it happened, but it happened. So
for me, I don't recall any. Anything I can say, I remember playing Paisans, and right in the middle of a song, I blew my speakers out of my bass amp. It's like, I am playing with nothing. So I just had to pretend while these guys are still playing. I don't want no one to know anything, but of course they probably would if they weren't hearing their bass. But I just played along with it at the end of the song, and I said, guys, I got a problem. So, so that would probably have been it for me. We never fell off the stage or not like that.
Yeah. I always try to be around my surroundings.
Yeah, I've gotten some interesting answers to that question over the years.
I'm sure, yeah.
How about, you've probably also played with a lot of different bands. Are there any bands that have stuck out over the years to you guys?
I mean, you're talking about national bands or local bands?
Either or.
Well, national bands, one thing that sticks out to me, we had the pleasure of opening up for Damage Plan, which was Dimebag Darrell and Vinnie Paul. And we got to hang out with those guys, and this was like 12 days before Dime got shot, something like that. So that show will always stick in the back of my head. Just getting to talk to them guys and hanging out with them just days
before. I mean, I actually drank a beer at Vinnie Paul, and that's something I'll never forget.
Yeah,
so.
Just days before that happened.
But really getting back to like that, I mean, Joey Belladonna from Anthrax, wonderful man.
We did three shows with Joey, and he's the most awesomest guy you ever want to meet.
But there's just so many. We could be here for hours talking about the guys we played with. Like locally, right now, I think everybody's more like a brotherhood right now, and that's what we like. That's what we like to see.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, everybody gets along for the most part that I know of. And it's, you know, we were in need of a singer here recently, which we do got a new singer by the name of Chad Goldblatt for Zone 8. But we've had all these guys come to our aid from different bands wanting to jump in, help us out, and get us through these shows. And we'll never forget that.
That's one of the things that I've been involved with the scene since about 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I've seen grow is the interaction of the bands, as well as how much the bands are willing to help the community itself, like Rock for Life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just various. I was at a show last night in Vandegrift, only for a little bit because I had my kids with me, but they did a bonfire at Kennedy Park in Vandegrift, and Sour Mash was playing.
Okay. Well, it's all Bones. Pat Bones playing with them.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, Bones is actually one of the guys that helped us out.
You know, there were vendors there. The fire department was there. I'm assuming it was the fire department was benefiting from it. I didn't know too much about it. I just showed up at the last minute and listened to some music. But you know, the scene gives back to the community constantly, and I don't think people really realize what's going on.
No, it's like we're being one of them. We'll do anything to help out a cause for anything we can help out with through our music. I mean, that's back in the day when we first started. I mean, you didn't see a whole lot of that going on. It was more like club playing. And at that time, I think it was more of a competition, like early 80s, with bands, you know, and like, oh, my band's better than your band. Nowadays, I haven't really seen that. It's like more of a brotherhood, and everybody's pulling together to play shows together, and that's what it's all about with us.
You guys played the Pennsylvania Rock Show anniversary for me, even though I missed it.
yeah, we did. Yeah. We see you later, though, didn't we? Yeah, you stopped in later. We'll see you later.
Well, you were on your way out as I was on my way in.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah, my daughters both ended up with pneumonia that day. That's when we were children's.
Oh, I hear that.
But they're good to go. They're outside playing right now, actually.
Good.
But, They were dancing last night to Sour Mash, which caught me off guard. Cause,
oh, you know, good.
They kind of like the pop stuff, and you know, Sour Mash is playing biker rock, for the lack of a description.
Yeah.
But
they do like a lot of southern rock too, or just
they played. I'm trying to think. I was there for like four songs. They played some Skynyrd.
Yeah, okay.
They played Bob Seger.
Oh, okay. That's a little mix.
Wow, I can't remember what. One of them was an original that I knew, yeah. Which really yeah. threw me off.
Oh, wow.
Their guitar player, his name is Tim Henry. He mm-hmm. was in a hybrid with Steve and Matt from After
okay.
the Fall.
Okay.
That yep. was the first band I ever worked with. And it was one yeah. of the songs that they played. And, yeah, that 1995, probably.
Yeah. Well, I remember Hybrid opening up for us at that place I was telling you about, Kathy's Rambo. Sheer Khan had their second CD release party there, and we had Hybrid open up the show. And we did many shows, a few shows with Hybrid
yeah,
out there,
yeah.
off the Kathy's Rambo.
And other places, too.
A few other places, too, yeah. But, you know, we go back to the late 90s with Steve and them guys.
Yeah, that was when I was just getting into things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am someday, not during our interview here, I'll tell you how that started.
Absolutely. But when you were talking about Sour Mash and some of the songs they did, that's one thing I like about Zone 8. We'll do something from a 70s hard rock song, and then we'll go and do a Slayer tune. So, you know, we got a wide range of tunes that we're doing. We're not, like, staying on one path. We're, like, covering a lot of areas in rock and metal. But I do want to stress these guys. I want to do a lot of 70s hard rock tunes that a lot of bands don't play.
and we've been doing that, and we've done a lot of 80s metal tunes that a lot of the bands don't play. So we try to stay away from your typical standard tunes that you hear a lot of bands play and pick a difference from that band. You know, so that's
how many songs do you guys know?
In Zone 8?
Yeah.
Or just all together? Oh, geez, I tell you what, I couldn't even answer that one to Bill. You know how many there's no way I can answer that question.
You're
looking at 40 years of doing this and all the various...
Don't get us wrong, we forgot a lot of them, but a lot of them come, you start messing around with it, it comes back to you, you know?
Yeah. So, we've done some bands probably people never even heard of before. So it's just too many to even think. I couldn't even give you a number.
What's your favorite song that you guys cover?
Right now, mine is a song called Pandemic by the band Accept. I just love it. Love that song. It took me a good few days to get the solo down for that song because it has to be right on and it has to sound like what Wolf Hoffman was playing. But the song is a good metal rocking tune and it goes over great when we play it out. So that's probably my favorite cover song.
Me, I like most of the covers we're doing because like Dave said earlier, a lot of these are like songs that a lot of other guys aren't playing. But Me Against the World by Lizzie Borden is sticking out right now for me. And I've always wanted to play that song. We finally did it, and I love it. So we're getting Chad, our new singer, broken in on that one. So we'll be ready to go with it. His debut will be actually November 5th at the Baltimore House. So we'll have all them tunes ready.
Not to get into too much detail yet, but are you guys free on November 12th?
We are not going to add any more shows at this point. We're going to finish out what we have, and we're going to start booking for the new year because we don't want to put too much added pressure on Chad right now. And we're not going to go with any more. We have Robbie Myers filling in on October 28th for us at the Halloween show, and then Chad. Because we have the Baltimore House. I think we have a sidebar on the 19th.
Yeah.
And then we're going to let it go right now just until the beginning of the year.
Okay.
What's November 12th?
Ah, that's the Pennsylvania Rock Show anniversary.
Oh, awesome. Bummer. Well, one thing I'd like to say about the 40th coming up is, we can't thank these guys that are all involved in this with us. There's got to be 50 musicians involved that are took time to put stuff aside for this. And that means the world to Dave and I. And, even like as far as like Matt Ferrante and Steve Craven go, they actually moved their Rock for Life Oktoberfest to be a part of this. They moved it a week later. That means the world to us, for guys to actually do that.
How is that anniversary show working?
Zone 8's going to go up and do like 5 or 6 tunes to open up the gig. We got Chris Dittman from Flashback and Rockbot MCing along with Robbie Perrone from East End. They're going to be doing the MCing that night. So we're going to have a little of that there. But we're going to do like 5 tunes and it's going to be, we had like 3 practices here with all different members, people that are involved. They're coming in. It's going to be a big organized jam night. Everyone's going to know when they got to hit the stage. All the gear is going to be there. They're just going to plug their guitars in and play. We don't want to have no downtime.
We actually got a chart, which Lisa Czar and Sandra Scott are in charge of getting everybody ready. So we don't want one guy way back in the end of the bar talking to somebody when he should be on deck and be ready to go.
Because
we have to have everything's timed. So that's, we have the 2 organizers to have everybody up and ready. We have all the backline. There'll be no changing of guitar heads or drums or nothing. Everything's there. You plug in and you play. That's what's going to happen.
And you said there's like 50 different musicians that are going to be involved?
Well, yeah, at least. Maybe more into the 50s.
So, yeah, there's quite a bit of people involved. These are people that me and Dave played with along the years. People we haven't played with, bands that we guys we've been always wanting to play with, or just people we just wanted involved, or others that wanted involved. So No, we got the After Fall guys. Cause they moved their show to be part of this, we gave them like their own, because they gave like three or four teams that they're doing just themselves as After the Fall. But it pretty much the rest of the night's going to be everybody mixed matching, you know, playing, you know, cover songs. So
we actually threw a few originals in too that me and Dave did back in the day with different people. We have Don Garlock. He lives in the middle of the state. He used to be in Shere Khan with us. So he's coming out for this. We got a couple songs with him. I can't wait to do that. Just a lot, you know, going on.
And it's October 8th at Peter B's, also known as the Big Red Barn in Carver.
And I'd also like to thank Ryan Redding, too, from Breaking Point. Them guys are coming in with the PA, the lights. They're taking care of it. As soon as we start talking about this, Ryan Redding raises his hand. I'll take care of the sign and the lights. You guys ain't got to worry about it. So them guys, hats off to them for doing that for us. You know, we have something else we ain't got to worry about.
Yeah. And the show is going to start early. We're going to try to keep it started, get it started at 8 o'clock. And we do have a stage manager. He's going to be having everyone plugged in. So he's from Flashback also. So we're going to keep things rolling all night. We don't want to have to be no downtime at all.
Who came up with this idea? Was it you guys, or did someone come to you and say, hey, you should do this?
Excuse me. Here's where it started, Bill. Me and Dan were just talking about having it, because it's 40 years, and we said, you know what? Why don't we just have like a little party somewhere and get a few of our friends to come out. Let's have this little thing. Well, then we mentioned it to our band guys, and Vic and Hippie are just like, well, we can make this bigger than that. And then we just decided, okay, maybe we can.
Yeah, that's another guy, too, I want to put there in, Vic Manella, our drummer from Zone 8. This guy just took the reins and ran with it. And he's doing all the legwork,
he's getting all the musicians together. He's got the charts he's making, and everyone knows what they're playing. And all the updates, there's been many changes, and he's been right on it. So, we can't say enough about what Vic does. And Hippie, too.
John Hippie.
Truly those guys are true brothers of ours. You know, we've been with Hippie for like 12 years, over 12 years now, playing together. Vic's been with us now for about 5 or 6, since from zilch to this.
Yeah.
So it's a tight brotherhood there with the four of us, and then now with Chad coming aboard, too, so we're excited.
Is there a cover on that show?
No, we that's one thing I did tell those guys. We didn't want no cover. We said, this is a celebration. There's no one here trying to make any money. So can we make it a pre-show? And offered, you know, he's going to split the PA with us.
Which is the owner, Dean.
Dean's super nice guy. So, yeah, I don't want to charge anyone to come in for a celebration.
Cool. And it's what? PeterBeesOnline.com. I believe.
Yeah, it probably is. I believe it is, too. I'm not sure.
Oh, we know. Peter B's and Sarver.
The Big Red Bar.
The
Big Red Bar. Everybody knows where it's at.
How many originals have you guys written over the years?
See, well, there's many. When we first started playing music, it was nothing but originals in our first two bands. And we didn't, the second band being, we started playing covers. I don't know, maybe...
Probably later on, but...
Yeah, 80, 81, I guess.
Probably 3 or 4 years before that, though, we did nothing but originals, and that's where we did a lot of field parties.
Yeah.
Playing and stuff like that, and, or else we'd run out of place, and there'd be barrels of beer brought in. Back when you were able to get away with it.
There was a
like
club
that
up in Connecticut called the Condo Club. I know we played there a few times in the 70s, actually, there. But our first time on stage in 76 was the Big Knob Fair. We actually played a big stage. It was outside, and there's about 200 people, 300 people watching us. There were already 16-year-old kids playing music, and people were digging.
I couldn't even tell you what we played. I'm sure we weren't good either.
I'm sure we weren't, but, you know, people stood there and watched us and clapped. So, hey, you know, giving us, you know, these 16-year-old kids, you know, some kudos for getting up there and doing it, so.
Have either of you ever played a different instrument than you currently play?
I played the bass a little before, I've
played bass all my life.
You know,
nothing else.
I just love the guitar so much. To me, I'm always learning something on it, and I just like playing that instrument. I stay with it. Now, I've messed around some keyboards here and there, but, you know, nothing serious. It's just, give me a guitar and I'm happy. As we were, like, growing up, I've always heard, like, the bass and songs in the low end. And for some odd reason, I was always driven to that sound. And I was like, man, that's just, that sound, like, this back in, my mom would have 60s music on. And I just loved the deep end of the songs. And then as we was able to start doing it, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to play bass.
Now, how did you decide? I'm assuming one of you decided that you wanted to be in a band, or did you both decide at the same
time?
That was me first. I actually was watching a TV show called, it's from the 73 or 74, it's called Apple's Way, and Ronnie Cox in the show played acoustic guitar. And I just loved it, the sound and what he was doing. So I pressured my folks enough that they went out and bought me a cheap acoustic guitar. And, you know, then my ninth grade class offered a course. So I took that course for that whole semester, and then I went and took more lessons, and then I said, Dan, get a bass and start a band. This was probably like 75. I said, get a bass, we'll start a band. So my mom and dad bought him a bass through this catalog.
Yeah, it was actually a Paul McCartney a violin-shaped bass imitation.
Yeah.
As soon as I got it, I opened it up, I plucked the string and busted it.
So,
I'm like, well, I just got this thing and I broke the string already.
Yeah. And I think their store, the department store, was called David Weiss, because they got an electric guitar there too. But anyway, that was our first guitar, electric ones, and we started there and started messing around.
We actually messed around with a lot of other people before we actually got the band of Jim Jarrett.
Yeah, there was a couple of other classmates. There was a drummer buddy of ours, I think, in ninth grade or something.
Yeah.
We'd go, we'd have our mom drive us over to his house, and we'd sit there and play. And then he had some friends from another school that he was playing with. They came over. So, you know, we just sat around and played, you know, just, you know, trying to, you know, hone on our, you know, get our craft going on our instruments.
Have you guys ever played in a band without each other?
Never.
No.
Never.
No,
I mean,
correct me if I'm wrong. You're twins, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. My daughters are twins as well.
Oh, cool. Good, good. If we were asked to step in to fill in for like a friend or something, well, absolutely we would do it.
Yeah, like I did that blues, I did them blues songs, you know, without Dan there. You know, I did those, and he was actually asked to fill in on something once because of some other thing.
It was actually Heath for a rock spot was going to be out of town, and they wanted me to fill in, but something happened where he was able to stick around. So.
We've always been together.
That's awesome.
yeah.
Well, it's a testament, first of all, that you guys are still playing after 40 years, but 40 years together is amazing.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, when you think about it, you know, and I look at all the pictures, because we went through a lot of pictures here this last couple months, too. And this one, a friend of ours, Dawn, she's doing a collage of pictures for the show. It's just like, it takes you back down memory lane. I'm like, wow, geez, I remember this band. And you start thinking about all the stuff you did in that band, you know, and it's like, wow. So, but the wheels have been turning a lot lately about what we have done.
Yes, actually, Donnie and Diddy, she's gonna do a collage of us. It's one of the things I know is going to happen. And then we're going to get Terry Blair to film the whole show. So we also have Tom Messner coming out to take pictures and video. Crystal Perrone, I believe, will be taking pictures and video as well. So there'll be a lot of picture taking and videos going on that night, which is
just probably for that next whole week after the show. You're going to see videos and pictures all over the place up on Facebook.
How many albums have you guys put out?
I actually put them all together one day and took a picture of them. We're looking at maybe somewhere from 12, 10. This is a good bit. This is just number off the top of my head. I'm just going to say 12. Because I know Strickland put a couple CDs out, Stronghold, Zilch. Then we had Timberwolf, and then we had Just Plain Nasty did stuff.
I didn't realize you guys were Stronghold.
Yeah, me and Dan, we were in Stronghold. Yeah. We started, Strickland actually
worked. I can't remember who gave it to me, but I play it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Look at the cover, you'll see it.
There are mugs in there.
But Steve actually had Stronghold that day for the longest songs.
Yeah, a lot of the songs on that disc I wrote them. So that's a good bit of them. But,
so them guys come in, like Kevin Razzle came in and did his vocal stuff, which is, we had D.C. Cooper produced that one.
He was in a local band here called the Tongue Band. It's
back in the day.
But then he went overseas and joined a band called Royal Hunt. And then from there, he went to another band called Silent Force. And I think he was one of the runner-ups for Judas Priest, too, when he was looking for a singer. He was somewhere in there. But then I think he's back with Royal Hunt.
He's back with Royal Hunt now, I believe. And,
but they don't play around this way much. I think it's more that he goes over to York and they do.
Well, most of your local musicians know who he is and stuff. So, but he actually did that. We did it on Soundscape Studios with Doug Casper and the engineer.
And Doug Casper actually engineered the Zilch CD. And
Shot Glass Therapy.
Yeah, which I absolutely love. So that CD came out.
We actually did Concrete Jungle with from Shere Khan with Dave Granati at Dave World, and I just love that. We did it like a live feel, but then we went back. We made any mistakes. We went back in and fixed everything up. But I just love that recording that we got out of that studio with him.
Yeah, I did like the live setup because it was a little more comfortable instead of like just doing an instrument at a time like we have done in the Zilch and the Stronghold disc. But this one here, we did a live setup like, and I know AC/DC's recorded many albums like that. And we did it like that, and I thought, well, I enjoyed it. And I told these guys in this band, I said, when we go to record, I would like to try that again and see if that feel works instead of breaking it all down just one instrument at a time. Let's try this and see what happens. It's a little more comfortable to record.
Dave Grimaldi is such a great guy to work with.
I'm trying to think. First time I was at North Park Deck House.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for a wedding. And there was a sign on the door, and I'm almost positive it was for Zilch.
Yeah, we played there many times.
And I think that's when I started researching who Zilch was, and that's when I came across you guys. That was a while ago.
Yeah, Zilch formed in... Actually, we had two bands rolling together at the same time, Zilch and Stronghold. We formed Zilch of January 2005, and Stronghold was still rolling, and the Stronghold actually... we actually left the band in... June or July. June, I think we left the band.
I'm going to wait. Someone's trying to call in, and I don't know if the beeps get recorded or not. Do you have any albums that are on a different medium other than CD and MP3? Do you have anything did you ever do vinyl?
We have cassette. We don't have nothing on vinyl. We did. We recorded our Timberwolf disc back in the late 80s. We back then, CDs weren't really that big yet, so everyone was recording and putting them on cassettes. So that's how we got that one done.
But then Jim Sidney from Gourmet PA. He actually recorded us live at Harmony Shortline. We did a Timberwolf did a big show there. Jim Sidney from Gourmet PA ran a sound that night. And years later, he put them on CD form. The live thing and the Timberwolf CD itself. I mean, the cassette itself, which is like, wow. He goes, here you go, guys. You just get it. So that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
If you could give advice to anyone that's starting out in rock or metal today, what would you tell them?
It's a lot of hard work, but keep at it. If you really love it, get with the right people, and keep honing your craft, and just keep at it, and don't stop. Don't let no one talk you out of it.
Actually, I'm starting to see a lot of young people that are getting into metal and stuff, and maybe, you know, I know hip-hop came in for, and it's probably still there, but I'm seeing a lot of young people, you know, as I see on Facebook, moving into the metal world and getting into bands like that. And these newer metal bands coming out.
Yeah, learn. You can learn from everybody. You know, get with other people, learn from them, and, you know, and keep taking, you know, adding to your knowledge.
Yeah.
Cool. How can people find you guys online?
We at Zone 8 has a Facebook page. You can go to Zone 8, you know, whatever, look us up, it'll come up on Facebook. Websites, we don't do anymore. Not too many people do, I don't think.
No, I mean, everybody can find us on, like, Dan Klein or Dave Klein on Facebook.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook.
But that's, you know,
just Facebook, basically, with us, and, you know, is how we advertise it.
And what if it'd be like Facebook.com/Zone 8 Band. That's what it would be to get onto the Zone 8 site.
Do you guys have any originals recorded with Zone 8?
No, that's the plan for next year. We've been down for a couple months. Like I said, because we were auditioning singers. But, you know, I mean, we were all still playing with our friends all helping us out. But we do have some originals written, but the plan is to as early as we can next year to get this stuff recorded.
Now, what we did too, though, Bill, me and Dave, and we put together a 40th anniversary edition of different bands we've been in on CD, which we'll have at, I don't know if you're able to make it October 8th or not, but we'll have CDs there. Most certainly get you one. So if not, I'll buy it for you if you can't make it.
So again, it's October 8th, Peter B's in Starver, Pennsylvania. It's 40 years of Dave and Dan Klimo. You can find them on Facebook and their current band, Zone 8. As we mentioned earlier, they played at Pennsylvania Rock Show Anniversary. That band was Zion Cross. They've been in Shere Khan. Okay, you're going to have to help me with the rest of them.
Okay, well, we'll go exactly in order. When we first started in 76, the first band was called Shock Treatment. The band after that was called the Rock Riders. The band after that was called Timberwolves. Then after that was Just Plain Nasty, then Skeleton Crew, then Shere Khan.
And we had a couple different versions of Shere Khan.
Yeah, we called two different versions. There's the first version, which the first CD came out, then there's the second version with different players. We call that the second version of Shere Khan.
Yeah.
Then there was Stronghold. Then there was Zilch and Zion Cross. And then Zone 8, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where we're at, yeah.
That's 40 years is amazing. I know I said that a couple times already, but it is.
It's a long road, but a nice road. So, yeah, I tell you what, I can't imagine us doing anything else.
And for me, it's the people we met along the way. We made such great friends through this music thing.
I mean, that's it. We met so many cool people, and I got people getting a hold of me now on Facebook saying, hey, I used to be in this band. I played with you guys 30 years ago. It's like, I know, I don't always remember everyone's names because, you know, that's a long span, you know? But I'll look along and say, cool.
Well, we just played a show up in Blues Moose with Zone 8 and Punisher, and the girl running the door, she comes up to me and Dave separately, but she goes, I remember you guys from Shere Khan. I used to try to sneak into your shows. I was underage. But I would try to sneak into your shows because we always heard such great things about you guys back then and with the band. And I said, we did a lot. That band went to the second version, I should say. We went out to Hollywood. We did two Jack Kosciuszko Metal Fest shows. One was up in Milwaukee with the fans from all over the world, national acts. Most of them are national acts. We went out to California, and we did another one out there, too. And we got to, meet a lot of people and have a good time. That's pretty neat when you're eating lunch with the Misfits, you know?
Okay, do some more name dropping. Misfits, who else?
Oh, God, we play with Leslie West at Mountain, Kip Winger, Red Beach, Dimebag Darrell, Vinny Paul, Janie Lane, King's X.
Symphony X.
I do wish I had
Devin Townsend.
Did
you say Testament, right?
Testament. We play with Testament. Oh, Joey Belladonna.
UFO. Played UFO.
UFO.
John Waite.
And we ended up acoustically for John Waite.
So that was a pretty
UFO. Here's a good story for you. We got there early. It was at the Rex Theater. That's back when we were in Stronghold. So me and Dave got there early to get our gear set up. So I go in there, and of course there's a lot of English-speaking people there, you know, and with the accent. So one guy's got a bald head, and I'm standing beside him, and he's talking to somebody. He turns around, and he goes, "Hey guys, what's up?" I'm like, "Hey, how you doing?" I go, "Well, obviously you're at UFO, right?" I'm thinking he's a roadie or something. He goes, "Yeah," he goes, "I'm John Bonham."
Jason.
Hey, Jason Bonham, excuse me. I'm Jason Bonham. I was like, wow, open up foot, you know. Like, well, I seen you on Rockstar, and you had the real long hair. So I was like, so he started laughing, you know. He goes, "No problem," you know. But he was really, really nice guy.
I met Gene Simmons once. That's about my list.
How was he?
Actually, he talked to me about my digital camera. He was trying to figure out how it worked.
Oh, okay.
It was never a book signing.
Yeah, never met him.
That's really... Yeah, that's probably it as far as signed musicians. I mean, I've met other famous people, but I met Lynn Swann at Kennywood once.
We were actually in California during the Jack Kosick Metal Fest show. We were on the main stage, so they had a bunch of dressing rooms, and they had them split for the acts. You had to split a dressing room. So we split ours with Jag Panzer. I don't know if you ever heard of them guys. But, you know, so us, and I never heard of them back then, but I guess they've been around. But, you know, to us, Chris Broderick, who played for Megadeth, was in that band, and he's in that same dressing room with us back then. Of course, it was way before he joined Megadeth. But here I am. We're in the same room together, just talking, and then later on, he's in Megadeth, you know, so... That's pretty funny.
One other story, too, real quick. We opened up the Jackal, and the promoter of the show said, "Okay, we need some security for these guys," because somehow he didn't have security. I don't know what it was. So me and Dan and a couple of guys from Zilch, Nick and Kevin, we had to stand in front of the stage while they played, so nobody would get up on stage. Yeah, right. I'm like, oh, really, man? I just played. I just opened up for these guys.
Like, and they thought, okay, yeah, you stop drinking. If you're drinking, you stop now. Like, I'm going to have a good time.
It was already too late at that point anyway. So we did just do security for Jackal, and I got sawdust all over my head from him cutting that chain. With that chain, so I was cutting the stool. I was just hoping to cut my arm off or something. But he kept sticking pins. Jesse James kept sticking picks to my head. And so I was like, oh, man, but... Then we had to walk them out. Me and Dan had to walk them out. They had to do a meet and greet with everybody, and they had me and Dan walk them out. That's when we were powerlifting. We were pretty big at that time. But they were real nice guys.
So you opened for them and ran security for them.
Right, yeah.
Bill, after we did that, I said, don't ever ask now. I'll never do that again. Never do that again, because there I am. We're opening up for them, and I'm trying to get people all excited, which they are, and now I got to tell people to calm down, you know. Don't say, oh, we should
grab these guys. Don't let them touch it, don't let them grab it. There's a girl trying to grab them, I have to get to push her hand away. I'm like, I don't want to do this.
So I said, once was enough.
One of the guys that was on the show, too, his name was, he was the lead singer in Jason Bonham's band called Bonham. His name was Jason McMasters. And he has since died, passed away. But I just want to say he was one of the nicest guys. He was from England, too. He was one of the nicest guys that we met. And we sat there and just one-on-one talked to him.
Well, that was Ron Kill.
Ron Kill. He was at that show. Ron was a super nice guy and sat there and talked to you like you were just best buddies.
Yeah, very nice guy.
And so we've met a lot of these guys that are actually, a lot of them are cool. Mick Brown from Dawkins, one of the nicest guys you ever want
to
meet.
Took us up to a party.
He took us up to a private party once. So, we met a lot of cool people along the way. I mean, I'm not saying they all were nice, but most of them were.
Yeah.
Won't go into the not nice ones.
thanks again for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Brad.
And hopefully you guys get to play another 40 years together.
Well, I don't know about another 40, but I'll tell you what, man, if we can do another 10 or 20, I'll be happy. So maybe we'll be sitting here doing this for our 50th.
That sounds like a plan. That means that I'll have to be at number 22 for the PA Rock Show.
Yeah, that one sounds a little more realistic. We'll just shoot for another 10 years.
So I've been speaking with Dan and Dave Klein of Zone 8, who have been playing together for 40 years. Make sure you check them out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Zone 8 Band. And they are playing their 40th anniversary on October 8th at Big Red Barn. It's Peter B's in Sarver. If you get a chance, head out and check that out. And you've been listening to the Pennsylvania Rock Show on PARockShow.com and MegaRockRadio.net. We'll catch you next month with a band to be determined because I haven't scheduled it yet. See, I told you guys earlier I hate planning things. We're going to play some more of the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer up next, including some Stronghold and Zilch, among other bands. Maybe you'll hear some After the Fall. And maybe we'll go old school and play some hybrid since I heard a hybrid original last night.
Yeah.
My name is Bill. This has been the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
This is John, the American Hill Jack Lane, bringing you the AK Music Scene Concert Calendar for October and November of 2016, brought to you by A-Pro Radio. October 20th, Miss Freddie's Home Cooking Trio will be in New Kensington, PA at the Blind Pig Saloon. October 28th, Twisted Fate will be in Greensburg, PA at the Ramada Hotel and Conference Center. November 4th, the Hellfire Club will be in Akron, Ohio at the Empire Concert Club and Bar. November 12th is the Pennsylvania Rock Show 12-year anniversary coming to the Leechburg Moose in Leechburg, PA, featuring Tilted Shadows, Terror Chain Sky, the Hellfire Club, After the Fall, and more. November 17th, Ms. Freddie's Home Cooking Trio will be in New Kensington, PA at the Blind Pig Saloon. November 23rd is Twisted Fate in Irwin, PA at Antelli's Event Center. And then November 26th, the Hellfire Club is coming back to the Katanning, PA Sidebar along with Breaking Point and Unfiltered. For more information on these concerts and more, go to akmusicscene.com. That's akmusicscene.com for your concert calendar needs.
Hey, this is Brian Schaefer from the Weekly Rock Blog. Don't forget the Pennsylvania Rock Show 12, benefiting rock for life, will be November 12th at the Leechburg Moose in Leechburg, Pennsylvania, featuring Amber Alexis, Tilted Shadows, Terra Chain Sky, the Hellfire Club, After the Fall, and more. It's $5 for Moose members and $10 for guests. So come on out and support a great cause and hear some of the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer. Because I know I'm getting older. We do it for the
sixth string. We do it for the harmony. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to the Weekly Rock Blog with your host, Brian K. Schaefer. In conjunction with the Pennsylvania Rock Show and AK Music Scene. The Weekly Rock Blog is devoted to new up-and-coming music from across the state and beyond. In this segment, we'll review new music of all genres, talk about current musical trends, offer some insight into local music scenes across the country, and provide some tips and tricks on promotion. So sit back, grab a drink, turn turn up the volume, and let's take a journey into some new music. Episode number one of the Weekly Rock Blog. I'm your host, Brian K. Schaefer. And before we start, I want to give a quick shout out to Mr. Bill Damiano of the Pennsylvania Rock Show and AKMusicScene.com for giving us the chance to broadcast this segment and to thank him for his years of unending support for local music scenes across the state. So make sure to check out his website at parockshow.com and akmusicscene.com. So let's get it started. By the way, we gotta stop a cigarette. By the way, we gotta stop a cigarette. You owe me 20 bucks. Get that back. Why the fuck do you never pay me back? Yeah. On this episode, we're going to take a listen to a track from the new upcoming release by the band Homicide Black. Don't let the name scare you. It's a bit ominous sounding, I know. But I've had a chance to take a sneak peek listen of their new release. And I'm telling you, they do deliver a hard-hitting punch right in your face. But their music is actually very approachable. So how about a little background on the band Homicide Black? Homicide Black is a metal band based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and signed to the indie label Rattleclack Entertainment. They cite their influences as Black Sabbath, Dio, Iron Maiden, Ozzy, Wasp, Deep Purple, Rainbow, Thin Lizzy, and Uriah Heep. Yeah, that's one hell of a list right there. On their website, Homicide Black has a description of their vibe that they bring to their shows. And it says, Homicide Black conjures images of darkness, despair, and salvation, telling epic tales while delivering a straightforward onslaught of crushing metal. Yeah, that's right. A straightforward onslaught of crushing metal. I like that, guys. That's kick-ass. So the band's current lineup consists of the following members: Jim Jazz Byers on drums, Sean Nestor on vocals, and Mike Lobo Laborek on bass. I hope I pronounced your last name right, Mike. They claim to be the perfect remedy for a weary, ailing metal world. All right. So without further ado, let's check out a track from their new album entitled Homicide Black 2. This is Where My Demons Lie by Homicide Black. So that was Where My Demons Lie by the band Homicide Black. So what do you think out there? Yeah, I liked it, man. I liked it a lot. And one thing I'm telling you is I gotta go see these guys live. Yeah, I could hear raw power in their music. And it hits hard and heavy for damn sure, but it's also very melodic at the same time, which I appreciate. The lead vocals actually kind of remind me of a cross between Sean Albro, who was the lead singer of the band UPO, if anybody remembers that band. And I can hear a bit of Dave Mustaine from Megadeth, a hint of Rob Halford of Judas Priest, and definitely Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden. Their sound definitely takes me back to the late 80s, early 90s metal and hard rock, and I think the tracks on this new release show that. Very strong musicianship, heavy-hitting riffs, melodic guitar solos, and very strong lead vocals and harmonies. And that's one thing that seems to be lacking in a lot of bands these days, is a lot of good vocals and harmonies. So you guys nailed it. And Sean, man, you got some good pipes, bud. And I'm a singer myself. I've been a front man for a number of bands throughout the years, and I really appreciated the strong vocals in this song. And the backline of the band, the bass and drums, very powerful, in sync with each other, and they provide a good, solid bass to the overall structure of the music. And to me, it feels like, you know, they have a good sense of what sound they want to be, and they own it. What I really dig the most about these guys is their balls to the wall, straight up hard rock metal sound. There's, in my opinion, there's absolutely no filler crap in their songs. And if I were to compare their overall sound, I'd say a little bit like Black Sabbath, a little Black Label Society. I could hear some Alice in Chains and some Iron Maiden, but they definitely have their own sound. And the production quality of this release, man, it is superb. So kudos, guys, to your recording engineers, the studio you recorded it at, the guys that mastered it. Fantastic job. So overall, I give Homicide Black's new release a big thumbs up. Now, while Homicide Black, they have a CD release party coming up on October 28th, 2016 at Peter B's in Sarver, Pennsylvania. So if you get a chance, go check them out there. Peter B's is a pretty cool venue. It was an old barn that was turned into a bar and a rock and roll venue. Great bartenders, good food, good sound there. It's a cool place, so go check them out. And a couple other upcoming shows for Homicide Black, October 29th, they'll be at the Sweetwater Bar and Grill in Duluth, Georgia. November 12th, they'll be at Goodfellas in McMeekin, West Virginia. And then they're back in the Burg on December 3rd at the Baltimore House in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So check them out online at www.homicideblack.com. Follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/homicideblack. Follow them on Twitter at Homicide Black. Check them out online at Reverb Nation at reverbnation.com/homicideblack. Now, to book the band, you want them to play at your venue, your party, your bar mitzvah, your family reunion, whatever you want, send an email to band@homicideblack.com. Go out and see these guys live, buy their CD, and most of all, support local music. Well, that's a wrap for the first inaugural episode of the Weekly Rock Blog. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight, and I'll see you next week for another episode in which we'll delve a bit into our local Western Pennsylvania music scene. We'll provide some tips and tricks to self-promotion, and we'll listen to some new kick-ass music. And make sure to check out my website at www.briankschafer.com. So take care, be good to each other, and get out and support some local live music. The music used in the Weekly Rock Blog is provided under license by Blueberry Podsafe Music and Jimendo Music, the independent music community. Visit www.jimendo.com to discover new indie artists.